Hello, beautiful soul. Welcome to my podcast or my YouTube channel. I'm Will Caminada, the Multidimensional Guide. I'm here to help you awaken, heal, and expand your consciousness. Today, I'm bringing a conversation episode with Jan Cunnings. Jan is a gifted energy alchemist, sound healer, and intuitive guide who helps people, particularly empaths, to transform and awaken to their true selves. She has over a decade of professional experience, and she has facilitated thousands of private sessions and hundreds of classes while continuously evolving her mission to raise consciousness and embody divinity. Jen is wonderful. We talk about sound healing and light language. Tips on how you can start channeling light language, and lots of tips on how you can experiment with sound healing, especially your voice, and how you can use your voice as a healing tool. So it was a very multidimensional conversation, and she has a wonderful energy. So I hope that you enjoy the show. And if you do, please hit the subscribe button, leave a comment or a review on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and share this episode with that one friend that you know will benefit from this episode. So enjoy the show. Hi, Jen. Thank you so much for being here on the podcast and welcome.
I will. Thanks for having me.
So I am really excited to talk to you about sound healing and light language, because that's how I found you in the podcast that I watched. You were talking a lot about it, and that caught my attention. And I was like, I really want to talk to her and bring her to the podcast. But just before we get to that, I would love for you to share. This is something that I always ask my guests in the beginning, to share a little bit about your spiritual awakening journey. You know, how you came here to do this work. I personally see the spiritual awakening as a journey, even though we may attribute to one specific moment. But I do believe that it's an ongoing journey of healing and expansion of awareness. But in that more linear fashion, can you share how you spiritually awakened? What was the catalyst for this awakening in your life, and maybe how you got to do the work that you're doing today? And I know you could write a book about it, I'm sure.
I was like, I'm already condensing the story in my mind.
If you just give us a snapshot, that's great.
Sure. Well, it really actually started back in high school, which was quite a long time ago at this point. And my mom got sick and started exploring alternative healing therapies because Western medicine wasn't addressing that. And she began to take like Reiki classes and hypnotherapy classes and spiritual and all the things. And so for whatever reason, like I started to have interest in that. I started to just read a lot of books that were like Brian Weiss was my one of my first books, Many, Many Lives, Many Masters. I always mix it up, Many Masters, Many Lives. Judith Orloff, I've got some of my books up here. And so it was really, there wasn't like a big catalyst. It was just kind of like this pull. And so I started taking Reiki classes and I started doing these kinds of just exploration. I think, as many of us kind of get the pain. I will say I explored some psychedelics in high school and that certainly had some effects where, you kind of wake up the next day and you're like, oh, th this isn't exactly what I thought it was, kind of moments. But it was really after that first Reiki class, I knew I was supposed to be working in energy. Like, you just had that innate knowing. But I'm like 19. Like, there's nothing, there wasn't an opportunity for me to be like, I'm opening a Reiki practice. And so I, went through college, ended up getting into corporate and you know, still explored and was still meditating. And, but I kind of, you know, dimmed that part of my life a little bit. And I found myself from California to Texas and had a big, you know, blow up relationship. And then that kind of put me back on the path. And again, started exploring, started getting deeper in my meditation, started exploring, you know, self-mastery classes, other types of energy healing. And then I just hit this pinnacle point in when I was in corporate after about 15 years or so. And I was like, I can't be here anymore. It was just, you know, the universe is like, you're out. And that's really where it began. Like, as I began my professional practice, working with clients energetically and coaching and that kind of thing, that's where my deeper dive really began, was, you know, probably like 2012-ish. Because I was realizing all my clients were mirroring me. Mm-hmm. All my clients were empathic and sensitive, intuitive, mirroring me. And so I just began to see like deeper parts of myself that needed attention that I thought I had addressed, you know, more mentally, but hadn't really gone deep. And then that's where, you know, the shadow work began and the inner child work began. And, you know, so much exploration, so much, you know, deep personal, interpersonal experiences, working with, you know, healers and coaches and, you know, going to retreats and things like that while still, you know, working in my professional practice. But probably about 5 years in, where I was, you know, just really focusing on energy healing, and I was teaching energy healing, I was, you know, teaching Reiki and some other modalities. I really got that I needed to start with sound. And I began with getting some bowls and playing around. And interestingly, I just had two bowls, and this gentleman came to my sound healing class and he says, oh, I've got a whole set, you know, and I want to gift them to you. And so I was like, okay, universe, like, we're obviously on the right track. Mm-hmm. And then I began, what's that?
A literal gift.
A literal gift. Yes. Yes. And so, and then I started to explore the voice and recognized in myself and in my clients, like how much suppression we've had in our voice, with whether it's, you know, communication or authenticity or creative expression or just being, you know, in full truth, right? Full authenticity. And I started to really realize how much we've been conditioned to not do that, right? To compromise, to conform. So it was kind of this simultaneously, like, really coming out into fullness, that of course is still part of the journey, as you say, while awakening the voice. And I have always loved singing. And so, I took a class, and I also used to listen to a lot of light language from Judy Satori. She was the first person, and this was at least 15 years ago, tons 12. So, and I was like, what is this light language? Like, you know, I could feel the energy and I was like, this sounds crazy. And that's how I was exposed. And so ultimately, through my exploration with sound and light language, it just started to activate in me. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I was just sitting outside and my hand started bringing in energy. And I kind of knew what was happening, but I was so used to hearing light language verbally. And then shortly after that, the actual verbal light language came in. So it was kind of like sound healing with toning and light language and, you know, body movement, like it all kind of simultaneously, you know, over a course of time converged. And then I began to integrate that into my practice, offering sound sessions and ultimately teaching people. I'm just actually wrapping up a sound healing light language class right now. And I think every single one at this point has activated light language. So,
wow.
But that's as much in a nutshell as I could do it over a 30-year period of time.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah.
I love hearing your story. I love that you shared this curiosity, really, because I think that's a journey that if you follow your curiosity of like, what's next? What's this light language? Or what is this sign that the universe is giving me? What is this gift? I think that's the surrender journey, right? That sometimes we start, we don't really know what's next or what's going on, but you're just following that curiosity, that inner calling. So I love that you just kept going and taking one step at a time. And I also loved what you shared about like you doing your own work, and in doing that, you know, your practice expanded, and then you're able to serve others in a bigger way. And the authenticity factor as well, I think it's so important and so related, so connected to the voice as well. You know, I think especially for women, you know, over the centuries, that there is something in the throat chakra of the human being in general, but this sort of union between the feminine and the masculine that we're collectively experiencing now has a lot to do with the voice and like being your most authentic self. And I think the voice is sort of the portal to that authenticity, right?
Agreed. Really, really. Yeah. Very. Two thumbs up, agree. I think when we start to practice the expression, whether it's through sound or maybe art or movement, but allowing that, you know, the trueness of us to come through, it feels like this is the space, and maybe a little down in the sacral with the creation energy. But if this is blocked, you know, it's all blocked, right?
I relate to that, to this, because I've always considered myself a creative person. And ever since I was a child, I like to draw and create things. And then I became a singer, and you know, writing, creating is just something that it's very natural for me. So I always felt that it was a creativity more from this area, more than the sacral, even though I think there's, because we associate the sacral with sexual energy, but I think there is a lot of, it is a creativity energy, right? Because that's how we create life, right?
Right.
So I think there's, I don't know, I think there's a balance that can be activated between, you know, this more human source of or channel of creativity and this divine channel, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I would say, you know, just how I perceive it is like, you know, the sacral, the womb, whether you actually, you know, have a physical womb or not, we're still, you know, in this potential of creation, and and then the expression of it, the manifestation of it comes through the throat, but the, like the seeds kind of are coming in through that space as well. And I've just, you know, as you mentioned earlier, I've noticed in my practice and with my students, I don't think I've ever met anybody who has that full open, you know, throat chakra that are, you know, in their fullest expression. And to some level, there's been, you know, oppression or trauma or, you know, past life persecution. And so I've just been really aware of, as we're returning to more authenticity, especially, you know, people who are on the spiritual path, like all this has to clear so that we're shedding all these layers of places where we, you know, it wasn't safe to be ourselves, or it wasn't safe to be a healer or talk about, you know, subjects that were, you know, taboo or whatever. And so I've noticed that there's a tremendous amount of opportunity now energetically for us to really clear all of the places that we've held any kind of limitation of expression.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great, great link to sound healing. And I think most people might perceive sound healing as the crystal bowls, you know, the Tibetan bowls or instruments, and I love them too. I have my tuning forks, you know, I think they're powerful.
Yeah. Got mine here.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I like also the fact that it's becoming more mainstream in a way, like people are learning more about it. But I think the voice is sometimes taken for granted, like the power of the instrument, because that's our first instrument, right? And it's
Right.
in our physical and subtle bodies, right? So talk to us a little bit about that, the power of the voice for healing or for connection with the spiritual realms or the divine within.
I mean, I think it the power of the voice is so infinite and so untapped. I'll start there. And I think we're just really beginning to recognize, play with, experience the capacity of our voices. And you could read different theories around how the voice was used, perhaps in Lemuria or like Stonehenge, for instance, to the frequency the voice was used to like levitate, right? One of the things that came through for me when I was teaching my first sound healing course, just in meditation, was that our voices are uniquely encoded with the vibration, with the sound, with the frequency that is like specific sound medicine for ourselves. So we have, our own healing tool that is designed, divinely designed with the frequency, with the sound that is, receptive. Our bodies, our energies, our emotions are directly receptive. Now, certainly we can utilize our voice to support others and, bring sound healing into sessions, which I do all the time. I'm pointing to my table over here. But I think we're grossly underutilizing the power of our voices for ourselves. And so it's something that I've incorporated into, my practice every day, or even just driving or in the shower, whether it be a toning or a light language transmission. And it's like when we direct intention, if we have an intention and we add sound, the creation potential is amplified. I don't know to what degree. And so, one of the things I've been doing over the past couple of years is really sharing that and teaching that and supporting others to recognize like we all are our own healers, and our voice, we have this tool that we can utilize, and it can make a huge difference. I don't know if you listen, you mentioned the other podcast, but one of my favorite stories is I was leaving a sound healing class. It was one that I had taken, which helped kind of open up the connection that was like coming home. But I'd walked outside and stepped on the side of my ankle and like totally twisted it. And it hurt so much, I couldn't even put any weight on it. So I hopped to my car and got in. And I thought, okay, universe, are you testing me here? And just began to do light language and toning to my ankle. And by the time I got home, it was like nothing happened. It wasn't not even a twinge. And I was like, okay, I'm in. Sign
Amazing.
me up. Yeah.
I had goosebumps when you said that the voice is medicine, and we have a specific frequency that's designed to us. That was so beautiful, so powerful. So it really resonated with me, and the power of intention as well. I'm actually currently doing a sound healing training that's specific for the voice. I did a training with the crystal bowls, tuned it at the 432 hertz. But this year I'm doing the one that's specific to the sound, and we talk a lot about that. Like sometimes you don't even have to sound, like you can sound it in your mind with the intention, and that's one of the sort of secrets of the distance healing, right? That I'm sure you do distance healing and sound healing, and I think people are like, how does that work? It's like, How's it possible? Don't I have to be there, with you physically? So how, maybe for anyone who's watching or listening and they're thinking, like, how is that possible? How can I start my healing journey with my voice together with my intention? What are some of, like, maybe couple of tips or exercises or daily habits that a person can start to start that journey in maybe, like, reconnecting with that power of the healing with their voices?
Well, there's many different ways. I like to begin teaching people to tune into their bodies, and perhaps it may not be something physical, but you could tune into your body and ask, is there an energy here that needs some attention? Or what I would say, like, is there an energy here that needs some love? And 9.5, 9.9 times out of 10, when I walk my clients through this, like, okay, let's drop into our bodies, ask our bodies to ask or hire the intelligence of our bodies to communicate what needs attention or what needs love. The body will respond with a sensation. And it could be a block, it could be a pressure, it could be whatever. But if we begin to dialogue with our bodies will respond. And so from that place, not necessarily, you don't need to know what the origin of it is. We don't need the story of, oh, I've got this pain in my stomach. It must be what I ate last night, or it must be, I've been powerless my whole life, or whatever stories we want to identify. If it comes into awareness, that's fine. But the beauty about the sound is once we have, a direction, right? And we bring the intention, and the intention could just be, I'm going to send love to this part of my body, or the intention could be, I'm going to send, the light of balancing and harmonization, or whatever is going to be supportive. And so it can be as simple as just humming or toning or oming. Sometimes oming is a nice one to reach for to actually, initiate with sound. One of my students in my class this past time said she saw the words EW before she started toning, so she decided she was going to go and tone ew. And so and then another way to play with toning is to kind of go through the vowels, so you can kind of play with those sounds. But really, like, what I teach and how I operate is there's no hard and fast rule. Like, to really trust yourself, whatever comes through the sound in your voice is exactly what's needed. And to your point, you don't always need to actually make the sound. You can do it up here, but I would recommend to start with the sound, and that save that for later. So that's one way, is just kind of looking, oh, what does my body need right now? Another thing I would suggest is to just start using your voice in the shower, in the car, while you're out for a walk or at the beach. Like, just begin to, you could sing a song, you could sing a mantra, maybe there's an affirmation or maybe there's an intention that you're working with, and be playful with it. That's really the thing I try to emphasize is, I think sometimes when we get into our spiritual studies and we're getting into healing, we kind of like get serious, and the voice doesn't want to be confined. The voice wants to have fun. The voice wants its expression. It might want to be soft and quiet and soothing, or it might want to be like really loud and deep and like guttural. And what I've noticed, since I've been playing with this for several years now, is the range is huge. Sometimes there's stuff coming out of my mouth. This, and then sometimes it's all like, oh, kind of like motherly, soft, and pretty. And then sometimes like the light language comes in and it's like rapid fire. And so to get the biggest thing is to have fun with it and get out of your way, right? And to just begin to use it.
I
And
love
so
that.
those are some of my favorite things. One more thing I would say in addition to the body would be, like, let's say you wake up or you're just angry or you're sad or you've got some exacerbated emotion. you could ask to bring the sound in, to bring in, you know, peace or harmony or joy or soothing, to help bring in the frequency that's going to kind of help whatever exaggerated emotions, you know, moving through you. Mm-hmm. So I find that really helpful as well.
I love that. And I love the simplicity of these practices. And I think so sometimes simple. We tend to go, oh, it's so complicated, or I need to make the time for it, or I need to have crystal bowls. And it's just you anytime, like you said, in the car, in the shower, or in your meditation practice. But it's just simple, and it's, again, like you said, playful, experimenting with it. So my sound healer teacher, Simone Niles, who I also interviewed here in the podcast, it's probably going to be published, and I'll put the link somewhere here, or if you're listening, I'll put the link in the description. But she says that sound travels to where it needs to go. Mm-hmm. So whether you're receiving the sound from you, from a crystal ball, it will go to where it needs to go. And the same way when you release it, right? And I think it's, for me personally, it's just so powerful to release energy through sound. And I think, like you mentioned, this natural intelligence of the body, we already do that, right? Yeah, like too. If you're relieved, you go, right? If you're angry, it's a different kind of tone, but there is sound, there's breath or lack of breath, there's movement in the body. So it's really just being aware of this natural intelligence. And one thing that I always encourage my students, my clients to, is just to sound out however it wants to come out. Because yes. You know, that emotion just wants to move through you. It probably won't sound pretty, right? And so I think sometimes people just get in their heads, like, yeah. and it's probably because of the conditioning of not even this lifetime, right? It's like you can't cry or you can't laugh. Like you were told in as a child that it's, you know, you're a boy, you don't cry, or whatever it is, right? So just, I think just allowing yourself to go there in itself can be very healing.
Very healing. And I like what you said. That's something else too. Instead of just maybe toning or singing to a part of your body, is to actually tap into a part of your body where you're feeling XYZ and asking to make the sound, or just the intention to make the sound of what that body, or what that experience or that emotion or whatever it is there, for that to be released through sound. And that's equally as powerful.
Yeah.
And I really feel like I love this conversation, because I really feel like there's such an awakening happening. You know, of course, we've got the drum circles and the bowls, and, you know, the science is starting to catch up. And it's like, oh, like we're just remembering, you know, what we already knew at some point. And as you said, we shut it down. And so it's like, it's all like all of these gifts are coming back online, because they're so natural. Like, think about, you know, before the kid gets shut down, like they're singing and making noise. I get little videos of my kiddo when he was younger, and he's dancing and singing and, you know, hooting and hollering. And now he's like, you know, 12. And, you know, certainly it just happens, right? It just happens through our human experience where we shut it down. But so now we got to wake it all back up.
Yeah. It's the journey to remember, right? That pure essence. And I think for me personally, you were talking about your client visualizing the vowel and everything. I've had experiences in just practicing in class, or just humming, and very simple practices, very simple toning, but it really helps me to connect and makes me or enhances my psychic abilities, especially the telepathic abilities. And it's just like, then after all of that, I'm like, I just did a little bit of humming for like 3 minutes, and then I started channeling, right? So can you talk to us a little bit about how we can use sound, whether through the instruments or our own instruments, and we can use them both at the same time, but how it can help you to connect with those psychic abilities?
Sure. And to that point, I would say, like, if somebody's having trouble meditating, you know, you have the monkey mind, and you, instead of just going straight into like, I'm just going to breathe and meditate now, when you bring that sound in, it's automatically soothing to your body. But B, it gets your mind out of the way, right? As much as, you know, the mind might come back in, but then we go back to the sound, or we go back to the voice. And that's really the only thing that's interfering with us and our, you know, intuitive abilities or telepathic abilities, or our connection is ourselves and these constructs that we still hold within our psyche or our minds that, you know, perpetuate the idea that we're living in separation or we're living in a disconnection. So to me, the sound helps to get all that stuff that we've built up over gosh knows how many eons being in this human expression to just open those channels back up, right? And I teach a manifesting experience in my class where we kind of go out to the quantum field and begin to create in that space. Kind of reminds me of your background where it's like this, you know, infinite vast space with all these particles and stars and, you know, potential particles of creation, and then bring them in to with sound to create. And I think when we do that, one of the reasons it can be so effective is we're not in this doubt place, right? So if we're creating something with intention or using an affirmation, but then our mind's coming in with, well, I haven't been able to create that before, or, you know, blah, 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 like all of our places that we hold resistance or disbelief, the sound doesn't mess with that. It just goes right in, right? Mm-hmm. I notice, like, sometimes if I have a client and I can feel a place where we're going somewhere to clear, but they're like, oh, you know, not consciously, but they're just like, you know, they're resisting, and like, I'm like, all right, let's get in there. Let's see if we can clear out this, you know, trauma or fear or whatever it is. And, you know, then I'm like, okay, we gotta bring the sound in. We gotta bring the light language in. And I tell you, like, if I hit places where I get stuck and I bring the sound in, that's usually like the biggest release is where it's like they can't fight it. Right. So the mind can't fight the sound. The mind doesn't get to stay in control when we're, you know, intentional, like you said, with your humming. It's like, oh, I'm connected because I've allowed myself to get out of my own way. You know, my thoughts, my beliefs, my, you know, all a million things that go on in our head.
Yeah.
So I just, yeah. And just like, you know, think about when you listen to your song or when you're singing, even if you're not intentional, like even if you're just singing for fun and you're driving in the car, right? Your mood feels lighter, right? You feel a little more expanded. It brightens your day, right? You're not, you know, if you were already kind of ruminating up here with whatever's going on in your head and your favorite song comes on and you just start belting it out, you're not thinking about that anymore. And you've shifted your energy, right? You went from here to here.
You become more present as well. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Love, 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 love that.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about light language.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure viewers or listeners that probably have heard before the term light language, but if you could just give us a little, you know, summary of what it is, or just so that we can have a foundation for this conversation, how would you define light language?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even how it's related to sound healing.
I was just going to start off by saying that they often don't feel that different to me anymore. And when I'm working with the client, and sometimes what I do for my client sometimes is I'll just record a session, and it will be, some guidance, I'll tune into their bodies, I'll get the information. I might start bringing light language into like whatever we're addressing, and then it'll turn into toning and sounding. And if you listen to like even just a 20-minute recording, there's di variations in not only the sound of my toning, like sometimes it might be up high, sometimes it might be low, and then the light language might change in terms of that as well, kind of depending on what's being addressed. And so with that said, the light language is really light codes, light information that is coming in through our voices, through our bodies, through our art, through our intention. So even though we probably for your listeners, we've probably heard it a lot through language, through the sound. But it really can come through in any form, right? You might see people, I've got it somewhere around here, who, write light codes or have art. And so, of course, everything's holding a vibration. But the nice thing about light language is, we're setting the intention to bring in, whatever the highest frequency, setting in the alignment. But we can access a whole spectrum of different frequencies. So, for instance, sometimes I might be feeling like when the light language comes in, I've got like a Mother Mary energy. And then sometimes it feels a little more galactic. Sometimes it feels like there's like this mass download of information. And so it surpasses the mind because the mind wants to try to understand and analyze it and interpret it, but that it is packed full of light codes. So you could equate it to like when you're programming a computer and you've got that binary code in the background. And if you're looking at that, you're not going to be able to interpret that, right? But it is information and it is in a sequence that creates an outcome, the program in the computer. And so the same thing with the light language is it comes in and it starts to encode with, again, the intention always being, highest light, soul divine alignment. It can, clear discordant energy in our DNA. It can clear energy that we've held that isn't in alignment with our, higher self. And then it can also help turn on and activate and awaken dormant energies that we've held in our bodies that are ready to awaken, right? Part of the spiritual awakening, gifts that haven't come online, enhanced, intuitive connections or connections to guides or to source or to
Your higher.
whatever it is that. Yeah, so if we're, if we've been operating within a kind of a physical two-strand DNA experience, and as we're ascending and our bodies become more crystalline, more light, the light language helps to support that process by clearing, by releasing. And just like sound healing, we bring in the intention, right, with the light language, with the sound healing. So what I always recommend, and you might have done this too since you've been playing in the sound with your class, is to record yourself. Once you're playing with sound healing and maybe beginning to get activated with light language, you even though when you're doing it, you may feel a certain way, but when you receive it, it's a whole different experience. So like I'll sometimes listen to recordings that I do for clients and I'll feel, this kind of experience. I'll feel like maybe a floaty experience with the light language, and then I'll bring toning in, and then that feels like a whoosh. So they're both bringing in frequency, right? They're both bringing in light, but they feel different. Does that make sense? Okay.
And I like that you were talking about these the experience of receiving the light language and delivering, and then there's the other aspect of people who are listening to your light language, receiving that from you. So I have a question about first your experience of receiving it. Is it a channeling experience for you?
For sure. Yeah. I like even when I might be talking and giving somebody an idea of what the impression of the energy is, but by the time I'm done, I've forgotten it all. And so I'll say, like, for those who are listening and are wanting to awaken their light language, the best advice I can give is get yourself out of the way.
Yeah.
It is. I remember one of the students who, you know, activated this past course was like, oh, I get it. It's like totally effortless. I'm not doing anything. I'm not efforting. I don't know, I guess efforting, because it just comes through and you don't need to do anything. Now that I'll say the caveat to that is I always set the space and the intention on the front end to make sure we're not connecting into, you know, any kind of discordant or lower energies. But once you're opening and you begin to bring the sound through, just like when you do your sound healing toning, the light language just comes through. And I'm sure you've had experiences where you're sounding and toning and bringing through sound where it kind of takes on a life of its own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You're getting yourself so far out of the way that you are just asking to be the clearest, purest instrument, right? Clearest, purest vessel of that, you know, divine energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love what you're saying about getting yourself out of the way, because that was actually one of my next questions. Because I channel the Pleiadians mostly, but other beings sometimes comes through, my higher self. But in the beginning of my channeling journey, it was more of a telepathic experience. Maybe I would write, but it wasn't like speaking, right? And so I've only begun to kind of get myself out there and start speaking. So I did it with my community a couple of months ago, and I think it went well, but I could really see that there were moments that my mind was a little bit louder. And then there were moments that my mind was like, okay, I know that I'm not needed right now. And those were the moments that I felt the most connection with the channeling or with the Pleiadians. And that was one of the biggest lessons that I had, was like, just get yourself out of the way. The more that you can get yourself, like your small self, out of the way, the clearer the channel. But then my question is, because you've been doing this for years and you teach that, any tips or anything that you would say for anybody who's like me, like experimenting with channeling or light language? How can we get our small selves out of the way?
Sure. Yeah. I've got two tips. One is just something that popped in for me is when I began and I was all up in my business. I was all in the judgment. I was all in my head. I, you know, and even now, you know, it still might creep in. So I don't know where this came from, but I literally like ask my, you know, my ego, my left brain and all that, to just go back here. And I just kind of, there's that chakra back here that's like, some people call it the zeal chakra, but it's like that kind of source connection. And so I just kind of throw my ego back there and it seems to work. The other thing I recommend to do with this is set yourself up to go for a while. Because what happens is what I've noticed and what worked for me is the longer I would channel, the more I would get out of the way. And also to do that when you're not directing it towards people, because of course that's where the judgment or the criticism or the, you know, the mind comes in to is going to have a greater opportunity. So the more we're practicing on our own and giving ourselves a good, you know, in class, I said, you know, try to go 5-10 minutes. And they're like, oh, that's so long. But there's this kind of like meditation. There's this threshold that you move through, where you finally kind of just fully drop out. And that's when the weird sounds really come in, you know. But yeah, I find that there may be a different technique for getting your ego out of the way. Like if you notice it comes in, you know, maybe you put it in a box, or you could ask more of your divine self to come in to replace the small self, right? So I'm going to call in even more of my divine higher self to, you know, kind of fill, right? To be the primary.
Yeah.
But those are the two things that I just kind of, as I was going through, I didn't have anybody teaching me or leading me. It was just kind of, you know, I got the message I needed to share this. And so I was doing the bowls, as I mentioned. But when I started doing the bowls, it was to bring the light language in. Like the universe is like, look it. Like, and I'm like, no, I'm so scared, you know? Yeah. So of course I had all that come through, all that mind chatter. And so just keep going and keep playing and it'll get quieter. It'll get quieter. Mm-hmm. And then as that gets quieter, like you said, your intuition really opens up even more.
Yeah.
So those are what I played with. And that's kind of seemed to be helpful. Oh, and then the other thing would be to record yourself, as I mentioned, because then when you're listening to it, don't listen with your ears, feel it with your body. Cause then you're like, oh, this isn't just about the sound. It really doesn't have anything to do with the sound. It's the frequency. And when you can feel that in your body, you're like, okay, this isn't about what I sound like. It's about the transmission of the frequency. And when you allow yourself to listen to your recordings, you know, and you're just not trying to, you know, not in the judgment of how you sound, but you can feel it, then you're getting that feedback loop of saying, okay, this is about the energy.
Yeah, it's interesting because I find it really hard to like watch. I record my sessions and sometimes I record the audio, but it's hard because I'm like, oh, I remember that part. I was like, my mind was louder in that part. Oh, this is good. I don't remember I said that. So we're kind of like analyzing from a more logical mind, which I guess is just part of the process. And, you know, I think it's the same. It takes me back to like my singing years too, you know, that you record yourself and then you listen back and you're like, oh my God, do I sound like that? You know, like it's peachy here, you know, that kind of thing. But I think it's just the practice of you getting used to listening or watching yourself. But I do have a question about like your state of being. Do you find that perhaps if you're emotionally drained a little bit or mentally tired, is it hard or harder for you to connect? Or you got to a point where you can just like switch on and switch off?
Yeah, I would say it can just switch on, switch off. But I'll add that I find that it's really just speaking to the light workers, you know, and the people who are doing the healing, that we really need to be super discerning about if we're, you know, we got a session coming up and we're in all sorts of our own stuff, to not negate the self to work on somebody else. It could be like, oh, I'm feeling really shitty today, but it still feels okay for me to see this person. Or actually, I need to cancel because there's so much happening within me, to where we're really honoring, you know, that alignment. So even though you could switch it on and do your due and, you know, hold the space, is that actually really supporting and loving of yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm just bringing that in there because I think, you know, having a practice and, you know, working with thousands of sessions, I'm like, I'm just going to power through. And the message now is like, we're not doing that anymore. Right. We're not compromising self for someone else. And so anyway, I guess I just wanted to side note that in there, but
I think it's really important. And it's a message that probably a lot of people listening or watching this, they need, you know, because, you know, if you consider yourself an empath, you know, your first thought is, no, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to serve it. It's, you know, right. I have to do it, you know?
Right.
And I think like there's this balance that you said, like, can I make this decision for my highest good and the highest good of all?
Right.
And does that mean I need to cancel it or just rest? Right. Because I also find sometimes that when you serve, or even if you just take the time to connect, it changes. It raises your vibration, right? This Absolutely. Happened to me this week that I was like mentally tired because I was too much in my head, but I just took 10 minutes, played my tuning forks, connected a little bit. The rest of my day was like high vibration. And I know it was because of those 10 minutes, you know, so I was glad that I did it.
Right. Yeah. So if I wasn't clear to preface, for yourself, 100% all the time. Like if you're feeling stuck somewhere, oh, bring that sound. That's the best time to bring the light language and the sound healing in, is those places where you're feeling low. I was just speaking if you're offering it to somebody else, not that it would negate the receiving on their end. It would just, you know, just to be aligned with what's true for you. So.
Yeah. No, I understand that. But I think too, when you serve some, it changes your vibration too, right?
Absolutely.
There's an energy exchange, but
I think you're usually getting out of your own way when you're serving that way.
Yeah. I guess it's like self-awareness, you know, when you're self-aware, then you can make those decisions. Just because we were talking about like you receiving the light language, delivering it. So when I'm on the other side, on the receiving end from your light language and your channeling, what is the state that it's ideal? So for your students or your clients, like, is there anything that you suggest them to do in terms of setting an intention or opening the heart? Because I feel like sometimes people still get in their heads like, what is she saying? Or,
oh, sure.
Can I understand? What is this language? You know, or right. what would be like just a suggestion that you would say, look, if you're going to attend a sound healing light language event or watch online, how can I get the most out of it?
Okay, great question. What I usually do is I'll actually walk people through like a little mini guided, you know, energy setup experience is what I call it. So that would consist of, you know, starting with the breath, maybe even some humming, getting yourself connected to your body, getting yourself connected to the core of Mother Earth, calling in your divine higher self to come in to fill you, connecting with the heart space, asking, you know, that higher self and that Mother Earth energy to start to lighten up the body. And I always kind of see this as like this swirling around, clearing out the mental clutter, clearing out any resistance, clearing out anything that's going to be an interference to receiving. And then really expanding our energy fields out. You know, I love your background, like just really going out and communing, you know, in the unity consciousness with all. To me, that space of expansiveness really assists in getting out of our own way. And then, you know, during the sound ceremony, whatever, whether you're getting light language or a sound bath or whatever, and the mind comes in, I just ask people to go back to their bodies, return to the breath, and then notice that, like we talked about earlier, what's happening in the physical body right now? What it, because usually if the mind starts kicking in, it might be trying to protect something that's being addressed in the sound, you know, the body's holding on to. So if you can give the mind a little something to do, is to just start to breathe and focus the light and even ask the sound to go to that part of the body. And I find that usually if you give your mind a little something to do that's related to the sound, then it might start to, you know, get out of its way. But I think, you know, connecting, right? Connecting into all, connecting into earth, expanding space, always asking higher self to come in, asking your team to come in. And then I'll, you know, just kind of set yourself up in a little cocoon of light, as I always set up all my sound baths with something similar to that.
Sounds wonderful. And if anybody watching or listening, they're thinking, I'd love to experience your light language. How can people experience your light language, your healing, your medicine?
Sure. Well, if somebody wants a specific one-on-one session, you can check out my website at jencunnings.com. You can, my YouTube channel, I'm not as up to date with it as I used to be, but there's several transmissions on there with, you know, different intentions, that go back a few years. And then, I have on my website, jencunnings.com, there's a guidebook that, I teach a class called Self-Love Alchemy. It's not up quite yet. I might do this in fall, but over the past couple of years. And so what I created, this was kind of a download too, is to do a light language transmission to clear each one of the kind of what I perceived as the main barriers to love. So like my favorite Rumi quote is, you know, it's not our job to seek for love, but to seek all the barriers against it. So I was like, okay, what are these barriers to love? And they kind of go through the chakras. So you can read the guidebook and learn about these pillars of, that are the barriers or the creation or the connection to self-love rather, and then receive a 7-day light language transmission to help balance and clear each of those.
Yeah.
So that's just a fun way to get an experience that's specific that, you know, I think is we all need. So for instance, like our crown chakra would be our connection, like where we created a disconnection from our divinity, you know, where third eye, where are we perceiving ourselves not through the eyes of love? Mm-hmm. Throat chakra, where are we not authentic in our expression of our truest self? Where are we not compassionate? So it helps to balance all these aspects within the self. And each day you get a meditation / light language transmission.
Great.
So that's free on my website.
Yep. This is your free program, right? That people mm-hmm. can sign up. So I'll make sure to put those links in the description too. So yeah. People can experience that. I love that you talked about love and self-love, because as you were talking about, I was just thinking about the different dimensions of consciousness. So this is some of the things that I talk a lot about in my work, and I have a program called the Multidimensional Self that we go through 9 dimensions of consciousness according to and so we started, I feel like we started in like the eighth dimension is they say is the realm of light mm-hmm. or energy. And then the 7th dimension is the realm of sound, sacred sound, because sound is light, just vibrating at different frequencies. And then we have 6th dimension is sacred geometry. And the 5th dimension is really what connects us all, connects this all, which is love, mm-hmm. love, mm-hmm. consciousness. So, you know, it feels to me that you're kind of like, just connecting all of this in your work with with the love and light and sound. And regardless of whether you started with sound or love, it's all happening in a non-linear way, but it's all connected, and I just love it. I think it's perfect. It's a perfect connection of powerful energies. So
yeah,
thanks.
I think, like I was saying earlier, it's like we're just scratching the surface of what's, you know, possible and our gifts. And, you know, sound, of course, is, you know, a part of it. It's a huge part, but there's, you know, there's just so much more. And I love that you're working in different dimensional frequencies, because I really feel like we're, you know, that's that becoming, like part of that spiritual journey is that embodiment of these higher aspects of self. And there's, you know, more than just the one higher self, right? We're existing in all those spaces. And I think sound is a beautiful conduit to begin to pull in, to integrate and embody some of these higher dimensional aspects of self.
Yeah.
And I'll just add to that really quick to say what I've noticed over the years is, you know, we, like, so you mentioned connecting with the Pleiades, and, you know, they might show up for me, you know, for like a few months or a year or something. And then, like, oh, now it's time to commune with the Mother Mary aspect, or now it's time to commune with the Lyran aspects, or now it's time to commune with, you know, your Egyptian heritage. And so I feel like with sound, when we're applying it, and we can even be intentional about connecting with some of these aspects that we know are like a part of our being. And of course, we're connected to all, but I find like some are kind of like more primary connections, like maybe based on this lifetime and embodiment. But the sound can help draw in these aspects, these frequencies, more easily, because we're not in our head about it. Like I had one the other day where I was connecting to like a dragon aspect, and it was like bringing all this fire energy. And so now I'm kind of giving that my attention right now. So, oh, I'm going to light language my dragon. I just thought about that. Sorry. I haven't done that yet.
I love that, because what you're describing is you're saying we are multidimensional beings, right? And the sound, we are sound too. And sound can be this portal to other dimensions of yourself even, right?
Yep. Bridging the gaps, if there's any gaps. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then bringing it in. Yeah.
I just want to finish, because I could talk to you for hours, but I want to finish with some questions that I call them fun and deep. I usually end those questions. So
okay.
You don't have to overthink. You can just say whatever comes up.
Okay.
Just have more fun than what we've been already having. So what is your definition of light?
Oh goodness. I'm not good with definitions, but I'll just spitball. I would say light's a frequency, and I kind of equate it to love. Like it's that background to everything, like that inherent energy that is, you know, throughout all. Now, certainly are there places where we could, you know, bring more light in? Yes, because we're in a physical, perceivably physical place of separation. But I think beyond that, you know, when we're returning to unity, like we're in that wholeness, right? Light, love,
I love
experience, that. Like pure source kind of energy.
Yeah. I love what you said, inherent energy. I like that. Love it. And since we're talking about sound, that was actually a question that I answered in a podcast when I was a guest in my teacher's podcast. She asked me, what's your favorite sound? So I'm asking you a question. What's your favorite sound?
Oh gosh. You know, honestly, the first thing that popped in my mind was like birds singing, because I feel like they're transmitting light language.
Oh
and
my
so
God, this is what I answered.
Oh, you did not.
Wow.
I mean, they're just like birds for the past, I don't know, 10 years now. I mean, it just like today I was even riding the bike and there was a heron and there was ducks and there was geese and then there was baby Canadian geese. And I'm just like, I'm always communing. And so when they come, I've got my bird feeder over here. I'll just go and listen and just like feel like I'm getting energy healing, like feel like I'm getting a transmission.
God, yes, I feel the same. It's incredible. Yeah, and
Love it.
even like, because I, I live in the big city, and so there's noises and noises and cars and but sometimes when I just focus on the birds singing, it's almost like everything else just fades out.
They're singing to us for a reason.
Yeah.
And I swear, the more you do that, the more they'll show up. And like, I've had some birds come do this, some weird music I'd never heard before. So I'm like, oh, you guys know that I'm
Yeah.
picking up on that. You told your friends or something,
Yeah. Wow. They're like teaching. They're teaching us light language and sound healing.
Totally. Absolutely.
Right. So next question is a hypothetical question, but imagine that all the books in the world were going to be destroyed and deleted forever, but you could save one. Which book would you save, and maybe why?
I'm just going with popped in first, and it's funny because I was thinking about this book the other day, but The Alchemist, because I think there's so it's the store there's so much codes in that story, and it's a there's something about the way that it's told in the story format versus like something that is, like nonfiction, where we kind of like get into all the information. Do you know what I'm saying? So I just feel like there's such a what's the word? Like there's so many messages and energies, like just from reading that story and that represent kind of our spiritual journey, from this place to this place and that place and that place. But if I could say one other one, I would say the Sophia Code. And for the same reason that it's not about what you're reading, it's the transmission of energy that you receive. And because that book really awakened a lot of the feminine Christ energy that seems to be part of what I'm here sharing. So
Yeah, love that.
I
And
cheated with two books.
yeah, I love what you said about the light codes in the story and in the books. And I think this might be one of the reasons why The Alchemist has been so popular over the years. And Paulo Coelho is his Brazilian.
That's right. That's right.
But I really like that book, but I never thought of it that way. Like the light codes in the story. That's a great way to look at it. Love it.
Yeah, I always, oh, because I read it every so often and I always feel like I'm getting a different energy from it, And I would say, there's light codes in movies too. Like I remember watching, obviously The Matrix is our big one, but I watched A Wrinkle in Time, and that was I had a huge transmission of energy from that. Like it was blew me out. It was a story for another day, but
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I watched Avatar 2 a couple of weeks ago, and I had a similar experience too. It's
did
almost
you?
like remembrance of a life
In water.
in water, because I'm very connected with water and whales. Then they had like the whales and everything. It was For me, it was like a healing experience just watching that. I went into another world for 3 hours. So great. What is one thing about you that people would be surprised to know?
I would probably, I mean, this may come across, it may not be too surprising, but I feel like, sometimes we get really hung up on our spiritual journey and, it can get serious. And I am not a serious girl. Like I'm a partier, you know, like I feel like there's this human side of me. And I remember being a kid just being like, all I want to do is have fun. Like, this is all this is it. And so I'm kind of like reawakening that part of myself. So I think, you know, I think we perceive sometimes, because I've been teaching, you know, to like as the spiritual leader, da, 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 but I'm like, let's just have some fun.
Yeah, no, it's a great reminder, one that they're always wanting us to remember, right?
For sure.
Let's suppose that we signed contracts before coming to this life. And then we choose what we came here to learn as well as to teach. So what do you think this would be for you in this lifetime as Jen?
That's easy. Self-love, self-empowerment, authenticity, you know, having the courage to be the truest expression of yourself without conformity, without compromise, without sacrificing yourself to please someone else. And man, it's deeper than we realize, how we even just sugarcoating something, you know, or giving a compliment when we're not fully aligned with it. It's down to the minutia of like just absolute truth. And I think that's what we're awakening to, right? That's part of the spiritual journey, is no more of the facades.
Beautiful. Yeah, and I find that usually what you came here to teach is what you came here to learn, and vice versa, right?
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, I was a horrible, and I'm still working on it, of course, but just that it wasn't until 10 years ago I knew what an empath was. And when I read this article, I was like, oh, Jesus, we've got some work to do, you know. It's like people pleasing, that's not a way to live, you know. So it's been quite the journey.
Awesome. So the final question is called Three Truths.
Okay.
I borrowed from Lewis Howes' podcast, and it's also a hypothetical scenario. So imagine that many years from now, you're about to make the transition from this physical plane into the spiritual realm, and everything that you've built and created will be deleted, all of your books and videos and audios and programs, but you have a piece of paper in front of you and you can write three truths, and this is what's going to live on for your children, your family, humans. What would be your three truths in this moment what would you leave for us?
Sure. Well, like I just said, in terms of what the mission part was to just be ourselves, to be the truest version of yourself. And the second is that only love is real. And the third would be that we are all connected, and there is no such thing as separation, and we are all connected in the one. And man, if we could live by a little more of those, we'd live in a different world, wouldn't we?
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Jen. I want to acknowledge you for your commitment to the work that you've been doing for yourself and in sharing your wisdom and your light, and in helping us to remember that we have the medicine in us. So thank you so much for shining your light.
Thanks, Will. I'm so grateful for the connection, and I love the connection that I feel like we have. And shout out to all the people listening, and I'm just grateful to be here today.
Well, thank you so much. Loved to connect. It's been a delight. And as usual, I'll put all the details in your links in the description. Thanks everyone for watching or listening. And I'm sending you all much love. Lots of love, Jen. Thank you.
Take care. Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode. If you would like to learn more about Jen's work. You can visit her website, www.jencunnings.com. You can follow her on Instagram as well at Jen Cunnings. Her YouTube channel will be in the description. All of the links will be in the description. You can also get her 7 days of light language transmissions and self-love for free. I'll put the link in the description and you can connect with her. Pop a comment below as well and let us know what has been your biggest takeaway from this interview. And again, if you found that you benefited from this episode, please share this with that one friend who will find this connection with our conversation. Thank you so much. Keep shining your light, keep your heart open, and let love lead the way. I love you. See you in the next episode. Bye.